a copyrighted program created for the Rio Grande Oil Company.
Buckingham Police calling all cars, attention all cars, broadcast 101 regarding a murder at 11th and Maple. That's all. Rolls and search.
Every police car that speeds past you was silent, shrieking, and the dramatic advertisement for Rio Grande Crack Gasoline. So was every police ambulance speeding on its errand of murder. Every fire engine that roars past. Every police motorcycle that patrols the road. There are thousands of such emergency cars in the territory where Rio Grande Crack Gasoline is sold. And more of them use Rio Grande Crack than any other gasoline. What greater proof can you ask? That this gasoline is fair of all others. The gasoline selected for emergency cars operated by the cities of Los Angeles, Oakland, Berkeley, and others, and by the county of San Diego, Maricopa County, Arizona, and many, many others, is chosen in competitive tests. Rio Grande has won these tests because it is the only gasoline available in the far west that is made by the patented Sinclair cracking process, the most advanced refining method known to the petroleum industry. In Rio Grande's new cracking plant, the finest in America, your gasoline goes through a costly, extra process that changes all the weak, slow-burning, lazy units into rich, vital elements. And when you buy Rio Grande cracked gasoline from your neighborhood independent dealer, you get the same gasoline that is used by more emergency engines than any other brand. And in addition, Rio Grande offers free gifts to every boy and girl. Drive in tonight, or tomorrow sure. Wherever Rio Grande Crack Gasoline is sold, ask for your free copy of the Calling All Cars News, and read how your youngsters may have a complete junior detective outfit free of charge. And now it is our pleasure to present Chief James E. Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department. Chief Davis.
Good evening, friends. As you sit quietly back in your chair, listening to this broadcast, perhaps you will believe it is incredible that several persons can conspire together to commit crime, which may result, and in this case did result, in cold-blooded murder. Few citizens realize that walking abroad in our community are vicious individuals whose criminal tendencies are so great that they can conspire together in a single act of violence. But this story we bring you tonight is one which proves conclusively that definite criminal types are dangerous and altogether unfit to associate with civilized society as we know it. I wish to call particular attention to those listening in tonight to the splendid work done by the police officers in ringing from the group of conspirators and would-be murderers whose story this is, the truth concerning one of the most barbarous killings in police annals. This splendid piece of detective work was done without resorting to the antiquated so-called third degree. The psychology used by the police officers in this story to break down the resistance of these clever criminals is particularly noteworthy. Now for the story.
Sure, and it is that, Mrs. Mudge. And what brings you out so early?
There ain't a bite of food in the house, and the kids is hungry. I gotta go down to the relief headquarters and see if I can get them something to eat.
Oh, and it's a fine state the world in, and gentle folk like us has to be begging the government itself for a crust of bread.
Well, I don't know what the world's coming to. I was just saying to Mrs. Watson the other day.
Oh, Mrs. Watson, you were mistaken. Then maybe you can tell me where our fine landlady has been taking herself. And me with the plumbing in the case gone bad and not able to find hide nor hair of her these 3 days.
Now, that's strange. I haven't seen her for several days myself.
I'm just on my way to her apartment to find out why I can't get me some service in this place. Will you come along?
Very well. I want to speak to her myself.
You don't suppose she's run off and got herself married to that Mr. Redding from across the street, do you?
Oh, no. She's too old and settled for that. When a woman's past 60, she isn't thinking about flighty things.
Maybe not. Of course, I ain't past 60. I ain't well into my 40s yet. But that Mr. Redding don't look so bad to me. He'd be a fine husband for a widow woman who understood him and could do for him like I could, if you get what I mean.
Mrs. McManus, you surprise me.
Well, I'm only human after all. And I never could understand what Mr. Redding sees in that old Mrs. Watson.
You'll hear you.
Oh, not her, she won't. She was deaf as the devil himself is wicked. Knock on the door, Mrs. Mudd. Ah, knock loud enough to raise the dead.
Surely she ought to hear that.
She ought if she wants to. Hey, do you suppose she...
Of course not.
I'm going to peek through the keyhole.
Oh, I wouldn't do that, Mrs. McManus. It ain't polite.
Well, what of it? My plumbing needs fixing, and I'm going to tell her about it no matter how I do it. Now, just nail down here. James is plaguing me again.
Do you see anything?
Mrs. Mudd?
Yes, what is it?
The room's a wreck. If the devil himself has been up to trick him, look me too and see what's the matter.
Not me.
That's the one.
What's the devil, Bella? Oh, it's you, Lieutenant Hayes. Didn't take you long to get here.
Well, I guess we got the call as quickly as you did. What does it look like?
Murder. As you see, the old lady was beaten with a blunt instrument, bound and gagged and rolled in a blanket.
Mm-hmm. Well, clear out these people, fellas. Let's get out now and go over the place.
Yes, sir. All right, folks. You all have to get outside.
Fellas.
Yes, sir?
Send for Earl to band the fingers of the man and tell the coroner to come out for the body.
Right away, sir. Mm-hmm.
All right, folks. Everyone outside. Yeah,
right. Obviously, the motive was robbery. The way this place has been torn apart.
The guy who did this was hunting for something in particular.
Hey, look here.
What?
There's a nice fingerprint on the
bedstead. Well, him killed a man to take care of that when he gets here.
And now we better round up these neighbors and find out what they know about this attack.
Well, as far as I knew, Mrs. Watson had a little money, and she always wore a big diamond ring. I warned her not to do that. I heard a woman scream around 8 o'clock on the night of the 27th.
When we arrived, Lieutenant, the door was bolted from the inside. The rear door had been locked by a spring lock. Looks like a murderer escaped the back way.
Well, I saw a man coming out of the rear of Mrs. Watson's house at about 8:15 on the night of the 27th. I didn't get a very good look at him.
Well, look, you're asking me. I say, talk to that boyfriend of hers, old Mr. Redding. He probably killed her for her money and her ring.
Yes, she would come in and talk to us, and I hope she could help to solve Mrs. Watson's murder, Mr. Redding.
I would love to help in any way I can.
Thank you.
How long have you known Mrs. Watson, Mr. Redding?
For several years.
Oh, well, we were good friends.
When did you see her last?
I haven't seen her for a week.
Have you any idea who killed her?
No.
Did you kill her?
No.
Did you have any enemies?
No, not that I know of.
Good morning, Lieutenant. Here's that
fingerprint
report.
Thanks, Walter Burns. Yeah. According to this report, the fingerprints we took when we brought you in tally with the prints found in Mrs. Watson's bed. How about that, Mr. Eddie?
It can't be so. I've never been near Mrs. Watson's bed. Why, I haven't even seen her for a week, I tell you.
It looks pretty bad, Mr. Eddie. I'd like to tell us the truth and ease your conscience.
I haven't anything else to tell. I've told you the truth.
I understand it, Mr. Eddie. How did that happen?
Why... I cut it repairing some plumbing at my house.
Cut it repairing some plumbing, huh? So you didn't hurt it while you were beating out Mrs. Watson's brains?
No, I see why I'm in a snow. I haven't done anything.
Well, that's the last you deserve to ask.
Why, what are you going to do to me?
Are going to hold you in technical custody until you accept your story.
Oates and Gerhardt checked back on Redding's story, found that he was telling the truth, that he had indeed cut his hand while repairing the plumbing, and soon bring him once more to their office.
Well, Mr. Redding, you stepped back on your story and you found that you told us the truth about your hand.
Why, of course I mentioned why. I've done no wrong.
However, that doesn't explain about your fingerprint on Mrs. Watson's bedstead.
Well, I was frightened when you first questioned me. I should have admitted that I had been in Mrs. Watson's room. I took her a book about a couple of days before she died. I may have touched the gate.
Could have told us that in the first place.
Yes, but you see,
I had Mr. Eddingworth convinced you had nothing to do with the murder.
And I'm free to go.
Yes, you can go now. Well, good day, Mr. Redding. Good day.
Good day. Well, that was our only clue out the door.
He looked for a while. Well, we'll see where I'm going.
Yeah, what are you using to do now? That guy's on the left.
All right. Perhaps you can tell me what you do next.
All right.
What would you suggest?
Pass the buck to me. What would you suggest?
Well, we got a murder and had a single suspect. We haven't eliminated him.
Sometimes it's smart to be Mr. McCarty.
Huh? What do you mean?
Let's just wait for something to turn up. For the next several days, Hurst and Gerhardt confirmed themselves with a routine detail of the case, checking the scales of terms of the victim, going over their data for some little fact that may prove to be an important clue, actually getting nowhere. And then, from a quite unexpected source, a voice comes which opens the case wide.
Homicide, Hurst speaking.
The deputy sheriff Ellensworth,
yeah?
He was young and a member of Washington,
yes.
And I just ran into something that might have a bearing on
that case. What is it?
A president comes around our house, told my wife that he knew a man who'd been opening some doors, robbing old ladies.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, of course, it may not have anything to do with your case, but I thought you might want to know. You're damn
right you do. I'll get on that right away.
Running down Deputy Sheriff Allensworth's trip, the detectives interview Mrs. Allensworth. The interview is immense to the peddler, and finally through him, contact an old and, at the moment, very drunken gentleman.
Good evening, Tony, gentlemen. And what can I do for you?
I'd like to have a talk with you if you don't mind.
Oh, not at all. Will you be coming in and help me get a seat?
Thanks.
No, what is it, gentlemen?
My name's
Harris. Mr. Hurst.
This is Lieutenant Gerhardt from the police department.
Oh, police. I'm sure it's no
fine
to have a taste of liquor in the house,
is it? I'm not interested in that, mister. I don't think I
caught the name. McNulty. And what is it you want to be talking to me about?
I want your help, Mr. McNulty.
My help, is it? How can a poor, innocent, law-abiding citizen be helping the police?
According to information we received, you were offered some money to help rob an old woman.
I never heard of such a thing.
All right, McNulty. Now calm down.
Would you like a little drop of whiskey, gentlemen?
No, thanks.
You won't be minding me. I've a wee bit. You jolted me, sir, when you made that last remark.
Oh, go ahead and have. How about it, McNulty?
How about what?
This job you were offered.
Well, I don't know nothing. I never heard of it. By the holy saints, I swear it.
Sounds to me as if you're trying to hide something.
Hide something, is it? My conscience is as clear as a newborn babe. The thing gets them swaddled in the clothes of the
sheep. We know that you were offered a job to help rob an old woman. If you continue to deny it, we may be forced to arrest you on suspicion of murder.
Murder? Did you kill the poor old lady?
You did know about
it. I know nothing. It's just sorry I am that the poor old lady met her death at the hands of robbers. Them being the devil's own pardon.
According to Lizzie Minsky, you know a great deal about it.
Minsky. Him and I have treated like a friend, like a brother even. So he's going about the town breathing scandal about me.
Do you want to talk?
I'm talking, I tell you, I'm... You know the truth, I know.
Well, Harry, I guess we'll have to run him in.
Yeah, I guess so. You want to use your handcuffs or shall I use mine?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Wait a minute, gentlemen. I'm not that quickly. You wouldn't want to be arrested an innocent man.
Of course not. But how do we know that you are innocent? Looks to me as though you're trying to cover something up.
No, but I do think I am after forgetting something. I wonder a month or so past.
What was it?
I remember now. It seems that the fella did talk to me about robbing some poor old lady. But I didn't have nothing to do with it. I told him I was a respectable, self-respecting, respectable citizen. And
who was this man?
Let me think. Seems like his name was Eddie Black.
Eddie Black. Yeah. Where'd you live?
Yeah. I believe it's somewhere around Pico and San Pedro. But I ain't sure. I never had nothing to do with him. I sent him and his illicit proposition patent. I set him like the black one I did. Sure, and why should a self-respecting, respectable, self-respecting taxpayer and citizen like me have any truck with a black-hearted devil like the one he is himself?
So, good evening, please. Honorable gentleman looking for register in number one Japanese hotel?
No, we're looking for someone.
Oh, who are you looking for, please?
Hello, by the name of Eddie Black, who lives here.
Oh, yes. Eddie Black, I say yes. Eddie Black, I say yes. Eddie Black, I say yes. Eddie Black. I think
that room's in.
Oh, I think
that room's in.
Oh, Eddie Black are not in now. But he's coming. Oh, look. There are Eddie Black making entry from doorway right now.
Yeah? Just a minute, Mr. Black.
Yeah, what is it?
I want to have a little talk with you.
About what?
A murder. At the police headquarters.
A murder? Well, I don't know nothing about no murder.
Well, that's just fine. And you won't mind coming along with us. We want you to meet a friend of
ours. Well, I'm clean. I don't know nothing.
Oh, we're glad to hear that. Come along. Car's waiting outside. Come on. Get out.
Hey, what's the idea? Where are you taking me?
You'll see soon enough. I'm taking you to visit an old friend of yours.
Yeah, well, I don't know anybody out in this end of town.
Well, we'll see about that.
You didn't come in very long, and I see you got your man. Hello, Eddie, and how are you tonight?
Who is this drunken old fool?
Come on, come on, come on. No, sit down.
Is the man, is it, Miss Melvin?
Sure, and it is, and the devil take the black heart of him.
What kind of a frame-up is it?
Shut up and listen. Go ahead, Jim, and tell Black Hill what you told us an hour ago.
Oh, we'll not be glad to. And listen to me, Eddie, my bucko. If you deny a word of what I say, then you're a dark liar.
Look here, you can't
help it. Black. All right,
then. Well, this be which one. This exclusive of a man sitting there met me on the street about a month ago. He says to me, "Tim, my boy," says he, "how would you like to make a little change?" And I says to him, says I, "Eddie, I need a little change pretty bad." And he says, "All right, my lad, you're on. Wait a minute, Eddie," says I, "what do I have to do for the money?" Crafty like he looks at me and says, "Does he just help me rob an old lady, that's all." I pull myself up. I fled from him like he was all the powers of darkness. Seeing as how I'm a respectable, self-respecting, respectable citizen and taxpayer. And I'll swear to it on the holy book. You know, only I sold my Bible to get some money for him. It's a medicine to keep out the cold.
Well, Black, how about it?
Oh, he's drunk. Drunk, prisoner. I'll be after breaking every bone in the body when you talk to me like that.
Drunk or not, he'll tell the same story on the witness stand.
And that I will.
How about it, Black? Did you murder Mrs. Watson?
No. I swear that didn't.
Who did? But McNulty just said is the truth, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, it's the truth. I'm in his dorm, I guess. But if you get me out of this spot, I'll show you the guy that bumped her off.
Come on, let's go.
Drunk, Eddie. A mere respectable self-respect.
That's the rooming house he lives in right there at the corner.
What's his name?
Well, I don't want to tell you that, but I know what room he's in.
All right, what room is it?
Number 15.
That's fine. Let's get Black into headquarters there.
Okay. Hey, what's the idea? You can't hold me.
No. Well, they're holding you as a material witness until we get your story. Well, Lloyd, how do I look in these old clothes?
I'm as filthy as I look in here.
I always hate to work in phony disguises like this.
You know, sometimes you better. You'd better stick in this neighborhood. Everybody for blocks would know we exist.
Well, here we are at the rooming house, Black pointed out. Let's ask the landlady.
Okay.
There's a room there to the left.
Yeah?
I want to rent a room.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You'll have to pay in advance.
Okay, we will.
Well, it looks to me like you had 10 cents between you.
No, we have. See this bed?
The police.
Right. And we want your assistance.
Well, now, look here. I don't want no trouble here.
This is a respectable place, and I don't want it getting a bad name.
All right, now, quiet down. You're smart and aware, know we're here. You make a fortune, you have to raid the place to get our name.
Oh, heavens, no. Not a raid.
Very well, then, be quiet, and we'll cause you no trouble.
Oh, what do you want?
I want the name of the man in room 15.
Mr. Jefferson has that room.
Is he in now?
No, he went out half an hour ago.
When do you expect he'll be back?
Well, it's hard to tell. Sometimes he's away for a couple of days, and sometimes for just a few minutes.
Have you got any rooms vacant next to him?
No, but there's an empty room across the hall.
We'll take it.
But I don't want no trouble.
As long as they won't be any trouble. Just you keep your mouth shut. The only way there'll be any trouble is if you tip them off that we're here.
For 24 long hours, the two detectives sit in the little room, smoking endless cigarettes, taking turns, watching through the keyhole for anyone entering Jefferson's room across the hall. No one comes that afternoon, that night, nor the next morning, but finally at noon on the second day.
Come on. Probably got old looking down the hall. He's walking around all night. Come on, let's take him.
Pick him up, Jefferson.
What is it?
Up high, fishing, Harry.
Say, who are you guys? What is it, a heist?
No, an arrest. We're police officers.
An arrest? What for? I ain't done nothing. What's the big idea?
There's a friend of yours down at headquarters that wants to see you. Come on. I don't think I need to introduce you two. You haven't made a mistake. This is your old friend Jefferson, isn't it, Black? Yeah, that's the guy.
What is this, a frame-up? I never saw this mug in my life before.
Oh? Sit down, Black. Tell Mr. Jefferson here what you told me up in the cell.
Well, there was four of us in the deal. Jefferson here, me, Bud Sampson, and Betty Martin. He was planning to rob an old woman who lived next door to Betty's room in that joint over on Maple Street. I kind of Betty said she had $5,000 hidden in her trunk. He was going to use tire patches when I finished the hard print. We had a tire for you, didn't we?
Betty Martin?
Yeah, what of it?
You're under arrest.
What for?
Suspicion of murder.
Come right in, Sampson.
Hey, what's the big idea?
You got no right in my room.
That's the police headquarters. Do you come along quietly, or do I have to use force?
First, loses no time in putting the suspect into the office of his superior, Captain Bert Wallace of the Homicide Squad.
Captain Wallace, this is Eddie Black, Bud Sampson, Greg Jefferson, and Betty Martin.
How are you? Sit down, folks. Now, I suppose you'd like to know why you're all here.
You're darn certain we were.
Yeah. There's a law against false arrests, you know.
Yes, I've heard of that law. That's the reason we never make an arrest until we are reasonably sure the suspect's guilty.
Well, you're way out of line this time.
I don't think so.
Well, come on. Spill it, Cap. What's it all about?
A little over a week ago, an old lady by the name of Amanda Watson was murdered during a robbery. We have some strong reasons to believe that one of the people in this room committed that murder. How about it?
Okay. I'll lay my cards on the table. I'll start talking.
That's fine. You don't mind if we take down your statement in shorthand, do you?
Thought it'd get it to do me if I didn't.
Perhaps you're right. You ready to take the statement, sir?
That's right, sir.
All right, Johnson. Start talking.
Well, I was working on a construction job out in Hollywood a couple of months ago, and I met Black there. He was working the same job, and he drove me back to town a couple of times, and then one day when we was talking about how tough things was and how hard it is to get a job or to live on relief, he said he knew where there was some ready cash.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that he knew a woman or knew about an old lady that kept $5,000 and a lot of jewelry in her trunk in her room. It sounded pretty good to me, so Black took me around to meet this game.
Who was this woman?
Betty Martin, yeah.
You rat, you double-crossing.
Now, Betty, don't be that way. This is the best way out. I didn't bump the old woman, and you didn't either.
I don't like informers.
Well, Samson, what else?
Well, this old lady lived next to Betty's apartment. We met in there and talked about it and decided we'd need a screwdriver to force open the trunk and things, and we'd need some strong wire to tie up Ms. Watson. We never meant to bump her off.
But you did.
No, sir, I didn't. Well, we finally decided that maybe there wasn't any dough in the room because we'd been watching through the keyhole. At least, I decided it was a bum steer, and I pulled out of the whole thing. That's all I got to say.
How about that, Black? Is Samson telling the truth?
Yeah.
What have you got to add?
Well, not much.
After I talked to Samson about the job, I ran into Jefferson here.
Sit down, Jefferson.
Go ahead, Black.
Well, we'd known each other in Oklahoma, and when Jefferson told me he was out of work, I figured seeing he was an old friend that cut him in on a good thing. He went along with me to Betty's room, and he was present when we talked over plans. Jefferson got the power tool and the patches for our fingers. And we started to argue about whether Mrs. Watson really did have any money. I was sick in bed with the flu, and the next thing I knew, I read in the papers of the old donor been bumped. I didn't do it. I was never nearer than Betty Martin's apartment. How about it, Miss Martin? What have you got to add?
Just this. I say it's a lie, a deliberate frame-up by a couple of double-crossing rats that ain't fit to sit on. And this man...
For 2 days, the questioning goes on. Relentlessly, the officers seek to break down the story, the admissions and denials of the suspects. Toward the end of the second day of questioning.
I'm getting a little tired of this merry-go-round.
So are we. Why don't you let us go? We ain't guilty.
You know, boys, I think Jefferson's right. We're holding these people for no purpose. Certainly, I am convinced that Jefferson's innocent.
And
Jefferson's innocent.
Maybe you're right at that, Cap.
And Jefferson, I want to apologize to you for keeping you here these 2 days.
Oh, that's all right, Captain Wallace.
We have to do these things sometimes to assure ourselves of the innocence of a suspect.
Sure, I understand.
You sure, Janet?
Sure.
Put her there.
Oh.
What's the matter?
You hurt my hand.
That's just what I meant to do. Now sit down there, Jefferson, and start coming clean. For 2 days, you've been sitting here scratching your right cheek until you've scratched all the skin away. You're nervous, Jefferson. You're holding something back. And something else which has escaped the notice of the rest of my fellow officers here is that right hand of yours. It's still swollen. How did you hurt your hand, Jefferson?
Why?
Now don't tell us you were fixing the plumbing. We've already eliminated one suspect on that story. Come clean, Jefferson. Sampson, Black, and Miss Martin have convinced me that they are innocent of the actual murder. And you have convinced me by your nervousness that you have guilty knowledge of it. Jefferson, you killed Mrs. Watson. Isn't that the truth?
Okay. You got me. I did it.
Start talking.
I got tired of them sitting around doing nothing. So that day I got crushed on a pint of cheap gin, and I took the tire tool and went over to Mrs. Watson. When she came to the door, I banged her over the head, and then I tied her up and threw her on the bed, and then I took the joint like Grant took Richmond.
Did you find anything?
No, not a dime.
I'm hardly paying you, Jefferson.
There's just one thing I want you both to know. I never meant it, sir. I just wanted to put her to sleep so I could get the $5,000 the Martin Dan kid was here. I didn't mean to kill her. I swear I didn't. I just kept her easy.
You just don't know your own strength, do you, Jefferson?
Jefferson, Lott, and Miss Martin were booked for murder. Sampson was held as a material witness, and complaints were issued by Deputy District Attorney Vern Ferguson on one count of murder, two counts of conspiracy to commit robbery, and three counts of attempted robbery. But 4 days before the case came to trial, Judge Reuben Smith released Black and Miss Martin, declaring that the evidence of their guilt was insufficient. Jefferson went on trial on an insanity charge, was found sane, and was sent to San Quentin Penitentiary for life.
Thank you, Chief David.
Someday, you may need help from the police. Someday, you may need an ambulance, quick. Every second counts when you need help. So police take no chances with gasoline refined by ordinary methods. Gasoline which may sputter and balk and stall at a sudden demand for speed. To ensure that every police car can jump from a crawl to top speed in emergencies, the largest cities and counties in California and Arizona specify Rio Grande cracked gasoline to power all emergency motors. It costs no more to get tetraethyl-treated gasoline refined by this extra cracking process. And with cracked gasoline in your car, you can get police car performance too. And as an extra inducement to try the super-refined gasoline, every independent dealer handling Rio Grande cracked gasoline is offering free, valuable gifts to boys and girls. Drive in. Get police car performance for your car with Rio Grande Cracked Gasoline.
Please, calling all cars, attention all cars. The cancellation broadcast 101 regarding a murder. Suspects in this case now in custody. That's all. Rolls and coats. Frederick Lindsley bidding you good night for the Rio Grande Oil Company.